are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
5 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast episode for Tuesday, October the 22nd, one day away from Pistons basketball and Joe Johnson. We hardly knew ye. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, the sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for checking around the entire Locked On Podcast Network. There are plenty of podcasts out there, plenty of Pistons podcasts out there nowadays as well, and we want to thank you for joining us here today on the show. Today we're going to give you the lowdown of the news from Monday, touch around the league as well, my thoughts on the big roster change that wasn't so big in retrospect, but I'm going to be going to bat for Kyrie Thomas and Dwayne Casey a little bit today. Also had a thought exercise on the Pistons finishing records and where people around different sectors of the media think that the Pistons might finish. I had a little hypothesis, and it turns out I was right about my hypothesis. And we're also going to check out the Google voicemail line. Go to Breeshin out there in Philly as well. But we still got some time to get your productions in this week. Give us a call on the Google voicemail line at 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. 1546. Call, leave your name, leave your city, and let us know what you think about the Pistons. Bold predictions, vanilla predictions, whatever you think, and we will play those on the air this week on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But as you know by now, the Pistons made the move on Monday afternoon, waving Joe Johnson, the 38-year-old 20,000-point scorer in the NBA, paying him $220,000 for a few weeks of work. Not a bad gig if you can get it for Joe Johnson. Bizarrely, the day of Pistons news kind of started when Chris Haynes of Yahoo reported at about noon that Joe Johnson was experiencing swelling on his Achilles, but tests came back clean, and he's now responding well to treatment, league sources said, according to a tweet from Chris Haynes. I thought that was kind of weird that that was becoming public a couple hours before the Pistons needed to make that ultimate decision by 5 o'clock on the 15th spot of the roster. News broke kind of over the weekend that Christian Wood had been told by the Pistons that he was going to get one of the spots on the roster, kind of leaving everyone to believe that it was either going to be a cut of Joe Johnson or a trade of a player like Kyrie Thomas, Langston Galloway, Thon Maker, something like that. And at 3:25, we got the news from Woj on a Woj bomb that Adrian Wojnarowski reporting from ESPN.com that Joe Johnson had been waived. And that was it. No trade. No Kyrie Thomas deal. Langston, Thon, whoever you want to dealt, they stayed with the Pistons. This was my recommendation. I think that was the right, absolutely the right move to cut Joe Johnson, hold on to the other assets for now. Expiring deal like Langston Galloway and also Thon Maker will be expiring as well, as he was not tendered a rookie scale extension like a lot of his peers were in his rookie class. So Thon will enter into restricted free agency next year and next summer, and the Pistons can still match any offer for him next year if he's on the open market, if he receives an offer sheet from anyone. I didn't think the Pistons were going to do this. If you listen to the show on Monday, I kind of had a feeling that Joe Johnson was someone that Dwayne Casey and the coaching staff wanted to keep around, and certain members of the front office as well, and that they would swing a deal and get rid of Kyrie Thomas and foolishly accept probably what would have been a not-so-good offer, or something like a second-round pick, or maybe a pick swap in the second round or something like that, or a heavily conditioned second-round pick just to clear room for Joe Johnson, who I believe, from what we saw in the preseason and what we know of a 38-year-old who hasn't played in the NBA in over a season, that would have been a big mistake. We haven't seen any signs from Joe that he's going to be ready to contribute to the NBA this year. And if there is a world where Joe Johnson, and I don't think this is going to happen, but if there is a world where Joe Johnson has some moments in the NBA this year, hits some big shots, becomes ISO Joe, big time, fourth quarter, big shots for someone And if Kyrie doesn't play again for the second straight season, I still believe this is the right move. I still believe it's a nice forward-thinking move for the organization. I don't think Joe Johnson is going to be the difference between this team having a comparatively successful season and a unsuccessful season. Of course, you want to be as good as you can for every season, but the ultimate goal is to be building towards something bigger. And I think holding on to future assets is the more prudent way of going about doing that. I don't think that Joe Johnson turns into something that's expendable at the trade deadline, or he's the difference between you getting to the second round or something like that. And I thought that Joe Johnson getting waived today is a good indication that this front office gets it. They're willing to think big picture. Obviously, more truer tests could be coming at the trade deadline and next summer, depending on how they react to whatever happens with the Pistons this year and how they pivot this organization going forward. But man, let me talk first about how bizarre that report was about his Achilles. Not sure who leaked that information, especially given that it seems like it's kind of straightened itself out over the last, even before Chris Haynes tweeted about it. It's almost like someone went rogue in the organization. You never know what that power dynamic is and who wanted who's vouching for what player. But strange that they'd kind of leaked that information about Joe Johnson, seemingly tainting his value a little bit and setting up myself and probably a lot of you guys that you're rolling your eyes a little bit to think that, oh, now they're going to trade Kyrie and hold on to Johnson. And even worse, he's already got some sort of injury woes that might be super serious. I mean, you're talking about a tender Achilles. Talking about the power dynamic and just kind of speculation here, we know that Arne Tellem is Joe's former agent. We also know that Ed Stefanski kind of runs the show in the front office and that Arne Tellem's kind of more involved in capital projects like getting the team moved down to downtown Detroit, the practice facility built, all those kind of things. Although I do kind of wonder what Arne Tellem's next big project is now that those are kind of, the move downtown is still happening with the business operations and such. But I wonder what the big project is for Arne Tellem next. But and I also know that Dwayne Casey reportedly was involved in recruiting Joe Johnson to Detroit. So presumably Casey at one point or another wanted to coach him. So, and you also know that Dwayne Casey has never been fond of playing Kyrie Thomas just based on Kyrie not getting minutes. And I'm not necessarily blaming the coach for that because the front office brought in three wings that are all project second rounders last year, two of them being smaller wings and Bruce Brown and Kyrie Thomas. And I know that Svi was in a trade, but still obviously acquired by this front office. And then you also took a small wing in the first round the previous year with Stan Van Gundy taking Luke Kennard. Just not enough minutes available for young wings to all be developing at the same time, especially when you consider that you had Langston Galloway left over from the Stan Van Gundy era. And we know that Langston Galloway gives us a lot of fits as Pistons fans, especially considering the high price tag of his contract. But you can see why Dwayne Casey kind of likes the veteran a little bit more, likes the offensive upside that Langston Galloway brings. He's a guy who gives a crap on defense as well. And you can see why. We all kind of bemoan the minutes that Langston Galloway gets, but I don't think it's the most ridiculous thing that a coach would do who's got an ultimatum to win now and get to the playoffs right away. Where are the minutes that Dwayne is supposed to give Kyrie Thomas? So don't necessarily blame the coach for that one. And, you know, guess what? Going forward, they got the same problem now. I don't have a lot of confidence that Kyrie will get his chance with this team this year, but I am encouraged that they kept him. I hope that Kyrie Thomas gets a chance with this Pistons organization, perhaps more with the Grand Rapids Drive this year, builds up his value some, if nothing else, gets some tape out there in the NBA. You don't know what injuries might come to the Pistons this year. He might be playing a big role for this franchise sooner rather than later. But speaking of injuries, Achilles for Joe Johnson, that just kind of, to me, screams old man. Kevin Durant's got the Achilles, and he's not old, but we know that that was because of a kind of an aggravated re-injury from a few games before he suffered the ultimate injury. Achilles, that kind of feels like the injury that my fat ass would get the next time I tried to play hoops because my lower extremities, my body, my legs, my feet aren't used to trying to run and jump with all this weight being thrown down on it. So to me, tender Achilles, and not exactly screaming guy who's ready to contribute to NBA season at 38 years old. But guys who will be contributing to their teams this season, there were extensions all over the league. Buddy Hield in Sacramento, Jaylen Brown with Boston, Domantas Sabonis. I mean, we know that he was rumored to possibly be traded. We're going to talk to Tony East of Locked On Pacers for his thoughts on Sabonis getting extended in Indiana. we figured that maybe there would be trades coming throughout the league with Sabonis rumored to be being moved. But it turns out that the other big news in the NBA is that Zion Williamson is going to be out for 6 to 8 weeks, had surgery to repair a meniscus injury in his knee. Bad news for his Rookie of the Year campaign and a tough start to his career, obviously. And the Pistons will avoid him, looks like, for one game at least. The return matchup when the Pelicans will be visiting Detroit is actually on January 13th. I will not forget that date because that's my birthday, January 13th. So buy me tickets to see Zion possibly making his debut in Detroit against the Pistons. But hopefully he's back sooner than that, and Zion's able to start his career, which is a very anticipated one. So anticipated that the NBA gave the Pelicans the first game of the season on tonight. The NBA season starting tonight, TNT doubleheader, New Orleans-Toronto felt a lot better when it was Zion versus Kawhi, but the summer didn't quite work out that way. Banner-raising ceremony with Jrue Holiday, not the best start to the season for the NBA, but it should be followed up nicely by Lakers and Clippers on TNT. I'm going to be watching that one. Man, exciting stuff to start the NBA season. And the Pistons on the road Wednesday night in Indiana, and then home for three, the home opener on the second half of back-to-back against Atlanta on Thursday night. I'll be in the house for that one for the Associated Press. Saturday at home against Philly, Monday against Indiana once again. And like I said, Tony East coming on the show Wednesday to talk Pacers. A lot of stuff going on with that team. Interesting stuff. A lot of questions that will need to be answered by Nate McMillan and that squad. So I'm excited to share that interview with you guys. Already taped coming up on Wednesday's show. But Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Again, that's Indochino, I-N-D-O, Chino, C-H-I-N-O.com. Enter promo code LOCKEDON, all one word, for $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more. Did a little thought exercise here and went around the interwebs and found some interesting Pistons predictions for the season. And it turned out about exactly how you would figure that it would. And I'll share that with you coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, we will hit the Google voicemail line to hear from you guys. Got Breeshin queued up to tell me what he thinks about the Pistons this year. But I was curious to kind of go around the internet. We know that the perception of the Detroit Pistons is down a little bit more than we think here in the Detroit area, around the league. And we know about the numbers that aren't in favor of the Pistons. We know about the projection systems that don't necessarily love the Pistons as well. So I wanted to kind of quantify for that for you guys and kind of see where it's at on a national level. Wanted to see where it's at with the local writers on that level. And then I took a step further and looked on the blogs that are very popular here in the Pistons community as well. So I kind of started at the top with the national media, and the plan was to just dig around and grab the first five. I actually was planning on 10, but it was found it to be harder than I had originally thought to see people that pegged down win-loss predictions on teams on the internet. So it ended up being five. So I grabbed five national writers. I planned on grabbing five local writers, and I wanted to stack up those comparisons, do some averages. And then, like I said, I thought, oh, I wonder if the blogs did win-loss predictions as well. So interesting, and everything turned out just how you would think it would have, by the way. First, I went on The Athletic. They had eight of their national NBA writers, and this wasn't included in our survey because they didn't make predictions on win-loss. So I was looking for specifically for people who made predictions on win-losses for the Pistons. But for The Athletic, they had, you know, Shams and all those national NBA writers that they have, David Aldridge among them as well. There were eight guys that all did the seedings for the Eastern Conference playoff, well, for both Eastern and West. And for the East, with the Pistons, of the eight guys, one of them said the Pistons would make the playoffs at a number seven seed, and that was Joe Vardon, who used to cover LeBron and the Cavs over there. And then there were three others of the eight guys who also had the Pistons making the playoffs, but as an eight seed instead. So of the eight guys, one with a seven seed, three with the eight seed, and four others had the Pistons missing the playoffs. So that kind of set the tone for what we were talking about. Not unreasonable, of course, to say that the Pistons wouldn't make the playoffs. I do think it's a little bit odd that what you're saying when you say the Pistons aren't going to make the playoffs is that there's going to be injuries. And we know that there are injury histories with three of the main players, including the best player on this team, Blake Griffin, Derrick Rose, the biggest addition of the offseason. And Reggie Jackson's always a guy with injury history as well. So I do understand, and we've talked about it on this show, as far as the Pistons having more injury possibilities than maybe other teams out there. A Blake Griffin injury certainly derails this season if it's one of any seriousness and consequence in any amount of long time. And we know that also that some guys have had some good health. Speaking of specifically of Andre Drummond as well, been very durable for the Pistons too. So I just think it's kind of strange that when you're making that prediction, first of all, you're finding another way to slight Detroit, but you're also predicting that certain guys in the NBA will get injuries. We know the Pistons were fortunate with their injury luck, especially with those guys that we talked about with Reggie Jackson and Blake Griffin last year. But getting into it even further, John Hollinger, who's now a member of the Locked On Network with the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, which I really enjoy, really recommend to you guys. But read up on John Hollinger's Central Division previews. He's down on the Pistons quite a bit. I can't really dispute a lot of the things he talks about with the Pistons, but really kind of puts it in terms that really make you kind of question, oh yeah, maybe he's right. He says that the Pistons don't have any starting caliber wings or guards on their team in the NBA. And you kind of think about it, it's like, yeah, he might be right. I mean, we have a decent collection of guys who would be pretty good bench players on good teams around the league, but is there one guy on the Pistons, not named Blake Griffin or Andre Drummond, that would be a starter on a really good NBA team? And I think that's a pretty good point. So anyway, long story short, John Hollinger predicts the Pistons to win 34 games this year and miss the playoffs. As we talked about, and again, I didn't cherry pick any of these. I didn't say, well, that doesn't really fit my narrative or what I'm trying to say here. I found five reliable ones of people that I read, people that I enjoy, ratings and projection systems that I value. And we went with the first five, same thing with the local writers, and then same thing with the blogs. The first five that we found kind of went down the list. So my next one was the 538.com. The new projection system that they have is the Raptor system that we talked about here on the show. That has 36 wins for the Pistons. The next writer I found online did a search and found the Bleacher Report projections by Andy Bailey. He's got the Pistons with 38 wins. Next up was the ESPN.com BPI, Basketball Percentage Index ratings. Those went with 38 wins for the Pistons. And then last but not least, for the five national predictions, we went with ESPN.com's Kevin Pelton, who used RPM, real plus minus, heavily for his projections, had the Pistons at 39 wins and number 10 in the Eastern Conference outside the playoffs as well. So that's 185 wins between the five of them, averaged out to exactly 37.0 wins. So the national projection has the Pistons at 37-45, 8 games below 500, and certainly 37-45 in no world gets you into the playoffs, although I guess in some Eastern Conference worlds that might contend for an Eastern Conference playoff seeding, but certainly won't this year. So Pistons outside of the playoffs unanimously for the national projections. Next, we went with the local writers. So, you know, credentialed media, newspaper types, that kind of thing. James Edwards III looked for him. He didn't put down I didn't see any of his articles that had a win-loss record on The Athletic. Maybe I missed it. Sorry, James, if I did. But went with mine to start with, most importantly, of course. And what I talked about on the show yesterday, I went with the Pistons. 43 wins and 39 losses this year. Dug up the Detroit Free Press's projections. They had Vince Ellis as one of their prognosticators. He had the exact same record that I did, 43 and 39 as well. Marlo Alter is kind of a web producer for them who has been to Pistons games. I know Marlo, good guy. I believe he's from Ohio, or I know he went to Ohio University. So he's kind of a web Pistons writer as well, covers games as well, but not a guy who was around the team every day or nearly every day, and not a Pistons fan as far as I know. But anyway, or didn't grow up as a fan anyway. Marlo Alter, 40 wins. So he had the Pistons outside the playoffs at 40 and 42. They also had Jeff Seidel and Sean Windsor, the two Free Press columnists, listed as prediction makers, but their predictions didn't have actual win-loss totals. Those guys apparently couldn't be bothered to come up with wins projection totals. Jeff Seidel had the Pistons outside of the playoffs, and Sean Windsor had the Pistons as the sixth seed in the playoffs. So maybe the most optimistic one was one of the columnists, and the least optimistic one was was the other columnist. I've never been a big fan of the Free Press sports columnists. I know that it's putting these versions of them. Because I say that because I grew up reading, you know, Mitch Albom and Michael Rosenberg in the Free Press, and just to see, and I, maybe this is me talking a little bit of junk about some of my Detroit media brethren, but I do think that Sean Windsor and Jeff Seidel are both exceptional feature writers, and they take certain columns and that are basically long-form feature stories and write exceptional stories on them. I just think that they're a little bit miscast as sports columnists for the Detroit's biggest daily newspaper and the one that spawned Mitch Albom. And I know that he's one guy that's a little bit of a lightning rod in town. Some of you guys probably consider him a joke or a relic of the past, but I ride for Mitch Albom. He was one of the reasons I got into sports writing and one of the best writers in America, period. And so Mitch Albom's still my guy. But anyway, I digress from my sports media ranting there a little bit. Moving on to my colleagues at the Detroit News, John Neo, the Thinking Man's columnist in Detroit sports, a great writer. Wojo does a great job too, but he wasn't included in this. This is coming from Rod and John's video that they made called The Pistons Backcourt, and they both offered up their win-loss records at the end of the show as well. And John Neo was the most optimistic of all of the local writers. He went with 45 wins, and Rod Beard was right behind him at 44. So if you're noticing the trend there, the local media a lot more optimistic about the Pistons' chances, and even the lowest one, Marlowe, was higher than the highest one of the national projections. The win total for the five turned out to be 215 total wins, averaging out to exactly 43.0 wins. So national, 37 and 45, local writers, 43 and 39, which was my projection, was actually the average. So 6 games better local writers compared to national writers. Moving on to the blogs, I combed them. I found the Detroit Bad Boys did extensive player previews, but the only win total projection that I saw was from Sean Corp. It looked like it was kind of the for the SB Nation's complete predictions series that they had the Detroit Bad Boys as Sean Corp doing the predictions there, had the Pistons at 44. The Palace of Pistons blog had a three-way panel where Noah, Ashley, and Jacob Rogers had their predictions. Noah had the Pistons with 46, Ashley with 45, and Jacob with 45 as well. Also found another writer that was in that roundtable that Dylan, that I don't believe gave a number answer for his. So sorry, Dylan, didn't put you in there. And then Aaron Ferguson, friend of the podcast, Jacob, if you know this show, we've had him on before as well. But Aaron Ferguson, who we've had on a couple times, the site expert of Piston Powered, he had the cool choose-your-own-adventure type of Ed Stefanski front office reading material that I recommend you check out. So if you click on the actual moves that they made, where they keep Christian Wood and waive Joe Johnson, Aaron Ferguson's win total for that scenario was 45 as well. So you've got ranging from 45 or 44 to 46. Total wins came out to exactly 225. And that averaged out to 45.0 wins. So, again, national writers, 37 wins. Local writers, 43 wins. The blog boys, and I say that as a joke. I appreciate the blogs, love the blogs. 45 wins. So it goes up the ladder, 45 and 37, according to the blogs. So it perfectly shapes out exactly how you might think. The national writers down on Detroit versus everybody. The local writers optimistic, being around the team every day, but still a little bit guarded, don't want to be complete homers. And then the fans, the blogs, not that, and I don't mean that derisively, got love for the blogs out there, but 45. So real optimistic on the blogosphere, less so at the local media, and just crapping on the Pistons in the national media. But check out Twitter, by the way, the Locked On NBA Net handle. It's a collection of all the hosts on one Twitter feed. It's really cool during the day to catch up on all the news and during a full slate of games as well. And check out on Instagram as well, Locked On NBA Net. That's the handle for both platforms, highlighting the biggest stories of the NBA. Up next, coming up, we are going to hit the Google voicemail line with Breeshin in Philly after this. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
Hey, Matt. Hey, Pistons Nation. It's Breeshin out in Philly, Michigan my whole life, playing state class 07. But my predictions for the season is that this team is just barely better than last team's. Maybe a 2-win improvement. But I really think Derrick Rose is going to supplant Reggie for the starting spot and probably make a trade happen, whether that's with Reggie or with Blake. But there's going to be a major shakeup around the All-Star break, which might vault the Pistons into the fifth seed, maybe that high. But as they stand, if they stand pat, it's a solid team, and I hope we win a playoff game, but I can't base that until I actually see it. They've proven us wrong so long. However, since I'm recovering from surgery, I predict that I took away all the Pistons' injury woes, and nobody will miss more than 10 games. Thanks. Peace. Enjoy the games.
Thanks, Sabrician, and good luck with your continued recovery. He took a spill and took one for the team, and we really appreciate that, as his injury means that continued good luck for the Pistons on the injury front. And, yeah, hopefully that's the case. Yeah, his belief that Derrick Rose enters the starting lineup, certainly one that I am not going to argue with. It's something that I believe probably could take shape. It just kind of matters more about minutes distribution, more about how a Derrick Rose fits in with the Andre Drummonds and Blake Griffins of the world. It sounds like the belief going into the season is that more of the same with Reggie Jackson with that starting group and Derrick Rose and Luke Kennard coming off the bench together as a bench unit, and we'll see how that kind of goes. But, yeah, the fourth quarters, kind of play it by ear and see who's playing well. Obviously from the preseason, Derrick Rose playing much better than Reggie Jackson, but we'll see when the lights come on tomorrow night how that all goes and how Dwayne Casey handles that situation. One that I certainly could see going either way. Reggie Jackson becoming a little bit more of a valuable trade chip as the season goes on, closer to the trade deadline, and Blake Griffin certainly someone who could be moved as well if this franchise chooses to go in a new direction. But speaking of new directions, Locked On NBA, the national shows, I mean, Locked On Podcast Network, we're just on fire right now. Always old reliable is Locked On NBA, daily bite-sized look at yesterday's action and what is upcoming as well. You know about Locked On Fantasy Basketball with Josh Lloyd. Hopefully you had your drafts already, but great stuff for daily fantasy as well. New show, Rejecting the Screen. Great wide-ranging NBA talk on Tuesday. And then Thursday, the boys had a long-form interview. They're going to do that each week. The first one was with Sam Mitchell. I'm sure you've heard the commercials for those. In the Hollinger and Duncan podcast, once a week, the amazing insight of John Hollinger and Nate Duncan as well. Good stuff for the Locked On Pistons podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network as well. Support all those shows. Rating, review. I told you yesterday we got the bad review from the Derrick Rose stands. We got to balance that out. Get on iTunes. Give me a good review. Give me a good write-up as well. Need it so we can be found by all the Pistons fans, all those new podcasts out there. Truce and what up to all those guys. But you know you got us on a daily podcast here. We're doing a good job of getting them out first thing in the morning for you. We're going to try to keep that up as much as we can. There will be days that that doesn't happen. I'm sure you understand that. But we're going to do our best for season three for me here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Been doing it for over 2 years now. October 2nd, 2017 was my first episode. And over 440 episodes of just me, close to 700 total shows if you add Duncan and Dan Feldman in the pre-Matt Shook era as well. Good times, good fun, and I'm strapped in for another season with you guys here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. So this is your host, Matt Shook, saying have a great one. Enjoy the start to the NBA season tonight. We'll be talking the day of Pistons basketball tomorrow, talking Indiana Pacers with Tony East. Looking forward to that one, and we'll talk to you guys then. Have a good one.